If you want to jump over with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we'll continue on with our study. And if you remember last week, Paul had refused payment for preaching the gospel to the Corinthians. You know, Paul worked as a tent maker and leather worker to support himself while he was ministering in Corinth. But he also knew that the city of Corinth paid the gifted speakers. Those who were doling out the money to those who were gifted speakers. But they also controlled much of what the speakers had to say. Money is a powerful tool. Money can control decisions. Money can control what we think. Money can control what we say. And a lot of that's even happening today. Maybe in some churches as well as the world. Sponsorships are huge today. With football players and basketball players, and they wear a certain logo on their uniform. They make commercials for their sponsor. They make appearances on behalf of them, whoever is supporting them. But if that person ever steps out of line, or they don't like what they say, they're going to pull all their money from them. And I think that's what the Apostle Paul didn't want to be dealing with. So he said, I'm not taking any money. I'm going to preach the gospel and the gospel only. And as we studied last week, the Apostle Paul had the right to be paid. That was 1 Corinthians 9, 1 through about 13. And he laid out his rights. And here in verse 15, he says, but I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me. For if it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. But I have not used any of these rights. I am not writing this in the hope that you would do such things for me, for I would rather die than allow anyone to deprive me of this boast. Paul said he would rather die than have people believe that he was a hired gunman, that he was doing what he was doing, sharing the good news of Jesus, simply as a means to make money. He didn't want his message to be shaped by the people of Corinth. He didn't want his message to be changed because of money. You know, and it's amazing to me, if Paul wasn't in it for the money, then why did he devote his entire life to it? And you can see in verse 16, he says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. The Apostle Paul said he had no other choice but to preach the gospel. Paul couldn't boast about his message because it wasn't his message. It was the gospel. It was the good news of God concerning salvation. Before we continue on, I want to talk about that word gospel. Gospel means good news. And throughout the Word of God, there's many times that God brought good news to his people. The gospel was different for Adam and Eve. It was different for the 12. And it's different for us today. Yes, throughout Scripture, as you study and as you look at it, it was always by faith plus something. There was animal sacrifices. There was circumcision. There was water baptism. There was repentance. And today it's faith plus nothing. And real quick, if you'll turn with me to Romans chapter 3. We talked about it a little bit in Sunday school, but Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You first have to realize you're a sinner. You have to know that you have sinned. And so many people in churches want to label what sin is and what it is not. And can I do this? Can I do that? Can I go to an R-rated movie? Can I not? Sin is missing the mark. When you compare yourself to the Almighty, Holy God that He is, each and every one of us have missed that mark. One analogy I like to use is jumping the Grand Canyon. Nobody in here can jump the Grand Canyon. Some are going to get farther than others. Some are going to jump 10, 12, 14 feet. But nobody's going to jump the Grand Canyon. And the Lord Jesus Christ has built that bridge for us because we cannot obtain salvation on our own. You're going to see in 10 through 18, it says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. We're all sinners. We have to realize that we've missed the mark that Jesus Christ has set for us. Look at Romans 6, 23. For the wages of sin is death. We all deserve death because of our sin. Because we have missed that mark. Because we don't have that opportunity. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The punishment that we have earned for our sins is death. It's a spiritual death. Yes, there is a physical death that comes along with that as well. But here it's talking about a spiritual death. The gift of God is eternal life. Look at Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't say, get your life together, get it right, figure it out, and then I'll come. He died for you while you were a sinner. He died for you while you were separated from him. Christ died for you. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We have to understand that we're a sinner. We have to understand that we're lost. But we have to put our faith and trust in the Word of God, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You can look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4. Here he says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. This is the good news for the age of grace. This is the good news for you and I today. This is salvation. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which ye are saved. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Because of sin, because of death, Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary. Faith is taking God at his word. You don't have to fully understand every single jot and tittle in the Word of God, but you have to understand that Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary, that he paid for your sins, and that he rose again the third day. That is salvation. If you have put your faith and trust in that, you don't have to walk the aisle. You don't have to give money to the church. You don't have to be baptized. You don't have to do anything besides say, yes, Lord, I believe the word of God. You will have eternal life. And this is what the Apostle Paul was preaching. This is what the Apostle Paul was so proud of. He had a burning desire. Jump back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. Many years prior to Paul's writing the letter that we're studying now, Paul was not a fan of Jesus. We all know that. He was Saul of Tarsus, and on the road to Damascus, he was blinded by Jesus. He was a changed man. Before Paul's vision was restored, after he was blinded on the road to Damascus, Jesus had a plan for Paul's life. He was going to go to the Jews and the Gentiles. He was going to go share the gospel to the Corinthians. He was going to tell us about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Look at Jeremiah chapter 20 just to see another. The Apostle Paul had a burning desire to share the gospel, and he was not going to take money for that. If you go to Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 8 and 9, says, "For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." Another version says, "Whenever I speak, I cry out, proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. But if I say I will not mention his word or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot." The Apostle Paul, just like Jeremiah, could not keep it in their hearts. They could not keep it from the unbelievers. They could not keep it. There was such a burning desire there that they had to share the gospel. Paul was compelled to share the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ. They were radically changed. Yes, it's very simple to see Saul of Tarsus out there killing people and all of a sudden radically changed. But no matter what your life story is, if you have put your faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, your life has radically changed as well. You don't have to have a long rap sheet of, "I killed so-and-so, I was in this gang, I was in that gang, I was..." Your life has radically changed. You and I, we were all lost. We were dead in our sins. We were destined to eternal separation from God the Father. Jesus stepped in and he rescued us. He redeemed us. He reconciled us. And if you are a follower of Jesus, your life has radically changed as well. We have to become aware of what he has done for us. You can see in 17 and 18, it says, "For I do this thing willingly, I have a reward." If we share the gospel, we have a reward. That's what the Apostle Paul is looking for, is that reward in heaven. "But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge." Again, he's giving it away. We talked about in Sunday school, there is nothing out there that is free besides salvation. We can say this world has all kinds of free things. I get the phone call all the time that, "Hey, you can sign up for this and get free." It's not true. Don't sign up for anything. Verse 19, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law as without law, being not without law to God, but under the laws of Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you." The Apostle Paul had already made it clear that he is free. It was in verse 1 when he asked, he said, "Am I not free?" Here again in verse 19, Paul makes an astounding announcement. "Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone." As far as Jesus Christ, as far as his rights were concerned, he was a free man from everybody. But because of his love for all men, but because he was gladly limited to those rights for their sakes, he figuratively became a slave to all. He would modify his habits, his preferences, his entire lifestyle. If any of those things caused someone to stumble or be offended or to be hindered from the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "I have made myself a slave to everyone." We talked the last couple weeks about being offended, or could they eat this meat? Could they not eat this meat? And the Apostle Paul said, "I'm going to become what you are so I don't offend. So I have the opportunity to share the gospel. And a day that each and every one of us are so concerned about our rights and not being offended, who would be willingly to give up everything in this situation? We're always trying to get ahead of one another. But the Apostle Paul said he became a servant. He became a slave. The Apostle Paul had the status quo. If you look at Philippians chapter 3, look at with me to Philippians chapter 3 just to see who the Apostle Paul was. Philippians chapter 3, you can start with verse 3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. What we are in the flesh means nothing. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. He's saying, I have more to be confident in the flesh than anyone. Verse 5, he was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I might win Christ. The Apostle Paul could have done what he wanted. In the flesh, he was a very prideful man. At the end of verse 7, it says, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. All that he attained, all that he had accomplished, it all meant nothing to Paul now that he had met Jesus Christ. Paul, the man who had every reason to be at the front of the line, changed now that he met Jesus Christ. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. Paul's purpose in making himself a slave was to win them to Christ. He repeats that purpose over and over again. Verse 19, to win as many as possible. Verse 20, it says to win the Jews. Also says to win those under the law. Verse 21, so as to win those not having the law. In verse 21, we read to win the weak, that by all possible means I might save some. Do we have that same design? Do we have that same burden? Do we have that same purpose? In verse 20 to 23, Paul identifies three groups of people and what he did to come alongside them in such a way as to eliminate as many barriers as possible so he might be able to share the gospel with them. Verse 20 and 21, he says, to the Jew, I became a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. Paul was a Jew by birth, but he says here, to the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. After he became a believer in the death, burial, and resurrection, after he did away with the law, to me, the way easiest way for me to picture it is Paul would never walk into a group of Jews eating a bacon and tomato sandwich. He didn't want to be offensive. He didn't want to rock the boat. He wanted to be able to share the gospel. He would become a Jew to share with them. Second set of people he identifies with are the Gentiles, those that not having the law. The Jews had the law, the Gentiles did not. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law. Though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. Paul was willing to live like a Gentile when he was with the Gentiles in order to share the gospel with them. But he never lived immorally to share the gospel. You can see through the book of Corinthians. He told them what was right. He told them what was wrong. He told them what they were doing. Doesn't mean I'm going to a bar to share the gospel with everyone because I need to live like my friends. Paul said he became like one not having the law, but he added, I am not free from God's law, but under Christ's law. And God's moral law has been made even more explicit under the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul never forsook the morality of the law of God. He never went down and said, well, I'm free from the law and I can do whatever I want. You can even see that in Romans 6, 2. It says, shall we continue in sin because we are under grace? He says, no way. We don't continue in sin just because we can. And the last group of people Paul identifies with are the weak. The weak were and continue to be the powerless among us. Those on the outside, the unbelievers. Those ones that no one goes out of their way to care for or to love for or to include. Paul says to the weak, I become weak. You can think of it like this too. If you ever were to go into a mission field or go somewhere else, their culture is totally different than ours. And it's very simple, especially for me. That's why I don't think I've ever been called to go on a mission trip or go to the mission. I'll say whatever I think. And in other fields, in other worlds, you've got to live like them so you don't offend them. If they eat certain things, if they do certain things, it's a culture thing. And if you want to share the gospel with them, you need to become like them. The Apostle Paul became a Jew to share the gospel with the Jews. He became a Gentile to share the gospel with the Gentiles. He became a weak to share the gospel with the weak. Paul knew that all people had worth and value. God had made them, Christ had died for them, and Paul was willing to meet them where they were. He says, I've become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. What a powerful passage of Scripture. He goes on in verse 24 here. He says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. The Apostle Paul uses analogies of the Olympics all the time. And he's coming back to that whole concept of the Olympic races. And when people run an Olympic race, do they do it for the fun of it? Do they spend 4 years striving to become that perfect body, perfect fit, perfect racer to say, hey, that was fun? No, they want to win that race. And the Apostle Paul says he did all this, therefore, that he might win that prize. He says we need to do the same. You run your spiritual race, not that you obtain salvation. We have eternal life in Jesus Christ. But he's referring to the carnal Corinthians here, and he called them saints. We talked about that a few months ago. But not about running to gain their salvation, but to gain rewards. Verse 25 says, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. When people train for the Olympics, do they go overboard and just eat and eat and eat to get energy? Do they just starve themselves? The whole idea here is that word temperance. The word temperate means an area, any area of life you maintain a balance. You don't go clear off either end, but base everything on the word of God and you maintain a balance. Every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, which is that physical reward, but we an incorruptible. Paul says that we are running the spiritual race, not for a crown of leaves and vines, as they did at this time, or that trophy that they get, but we run it for an incorruptible crown. We run for one that will last an eternity. He goes on in verse 26. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Paul says that he's not going to just beat the air. He's not going to just shadow box, but rather he is going to train himself spiritually to run this race of life that he might win the prize. Are each and every one of us here today running the race to win the prize? Or are we just in the race? Are we just showing up? Or are we running the race? Verse 27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Here he does not mean that you will lose his salvation. But it goes back in terms in a potter's house back in that time. And if a potter would work on a beautiful work, and let's say it was a vase, and all of a sudden that vase had a fine crack in it. It doesn't hold water anymore. It's useless. They would put it on the shelf and it would just be a decor. So instead of throwing away that vase in the trash, the potter would sit this beautiful vase on the shelf for sale only as an ornament type vase, which is where they get the word castaway. It was too good to throw away, but it was no longer of any workable use. This is what Paul is talking about. You can't lose your salvation. When Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary, he paid for your sins. If you put your faith and trust in that, you are sealed until the day of redemption. You cannot lose your salvation. But here we want to work and maintain our testimony so that we won't be put on the shelf as no longer usable. How is your clay pot? We want to be functional. We want to be used. We want to be a part of the body of Christ. So one question, a couple questions. First question is, has the good news of Jesus Christ changed your life? Two, if so, what are you willing to do for the sake of the gospel? You see, the Apostle Paul ran this race, asked for no money, shared the gospel, was beaten, was mocked, shipwrecked. Are you willing to step out of your comfort zone to share the gospel? You may not be called to go to South Africa. You may not be called to, but are you willing to step out of your comfort zone to share the gospel? Maybe it's time to step outside of your circle of friends and allow the Lord to use you and impact the lives of others. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the Apostle Paul. We thank you for his burning desire. We thank you for Jeremiah's burning desire. We pray that each and every one of us has that same burning desire to share the gospel. Not for money, not for glory, not so we can boast, but because we understand that you radically changed our life. I didn't deserve salvation. I didn't deserve heaven. I deserved a lake of fire. For the wages of sin is death. That is what I deserve. But you are willing to give me eternal life. So why will I not be willing to share that with others? I just pray that each and every one of us here at Grace Bible Church can obtain that burning desire and share the gospel with somebody this week. And we thank you and we praise you. And we pray in your precious Son's name. Amen.